Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Here we are again. This is a Friday, and we are here in the name of the Creator, the one that created this day. And he has called us here to share his word. So, good evening, Apostle McIntyre. That is Apostle McIntyre. Well, I guess you'll pick up in a minute. Apostle Miller will not be here with us. She is doing her other duties that God, her family duties that God has called her. God, she was a mother. Well, she was a wife. She was a mother. She is a mother. She is a grandmother. And she's out this evening, granddaughter. And that's a good thing, because so many times our parents and grandparents, our offspring, I mean our family members, don't spend time with those that's coming behind us. And as a result of that, there's a break there between the youth or the children and the adults. And as she passes on that which was given to her by the Creator, that means she is now doing that which he called her to do, so that those who come in behind us will have a knowledge of members of their family and their walk with God. So, maybe that's Apostle McIntyre.
Hello, hello, hello.
All righty, all righty. Welcome, welcome.
Yes, sir.
I was just sharing with our audience that Apostle Miller is responding to her other call that God chose her. Chose her to be a mother and a grandmother, and she's now out with her granddaughter and sharing and making sure that the granddaughter understands some of the struggles that she went through, that her ancestors went through, and how that impacts them, and how God took care of them. And maybe now that young person can see the power and authority that God has for them.
Yes.
And so tonight, it should be interesting. The reason I'm saying that is because there's been nothing definitive, but everything that's in place in our spirit points to one thing. It points to unity. Unity. And you know, whenever we go to Psalm 133 and we read the first couple of verses of it, verse 1, and then look at what's happening across not just across the country, but across the world, and then you sit there and you start wondering, what's going on? Why can't people come together? As Rodney King said years ago, why can't we all just get along? And what God carried me, the path that he carried me down, which is very interesting, Jesus made it clear that he came, what he told his disciples, that he came not to bring peace, but rather a sword. You can find that in Matthew 10 and 34, 35. You can read it there. And as you read it, ask God to, through the Holy Spirit, to reveal to you what his word is saying directly to you. Now, whenever I looked at that, and I said, that makes sense. Now, what was Jesus really saying? He said he didn't come to bring peace, but we're always looking to him. He's the peace. He's the peacemaker. But that part is true. He is the peacemaker. What is going on? And what I was shown that what is happening is his word, the word that he brought, is in conflict with the words of the world. And all Jesus was doing was telling us that those who follow him, those who believe on him, is going to be in conflict with those who don't believe on him, with those that the devil sends. And I thought about that. I meditated and reflected on that for a little while. That makes sense. So now we got red states, blue states. We got people against each other, and we got people lying. And then we got people expecting those who hear the lie to accept the lie. And that's when I went to the new normal. I said, we're looking at the new normal. But what was put in my spirit as a result of a conversation that I had with an evangelist friend, it was saying, hold. God didn't say in the new normal. He said he's going to do a new thing. Oh, I went to Isaiah 43:18-19, and it said, God made it clear, don't dwell on former things. So I said, okay, he's telling us don't dwell on the things that happened during the pandemic or before the pandemic. Yeah, what is he trying to say? He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Now, why? God is cool. He always tells you why. He said, see, I'm doing a new thing. When? Now it springs up. What does he say? Do you not perceive it? So now, if we go into a new normal, that implies that word normal is going to sort of hold us into looking for something that we understand. But God said he's doing what? An old thing, a new way. He said he's doing a new thing. So instead of we talking about some new normal, and we even spell it N-U, we don't spell it N-E-W. And what came to me was that the devil is real shrewd. He get us to think in the new normal. What does that do? Then we don't think God is in this. And what did God say? He was doing what? A new thing. So instead of looking for a new normal, we should be looking for the new thing that God is doing. And the cleansing that took place, I call it the cleansing that took place during the pandemic, we wind up pushing that aside and not even consider it, because we're looking at taking things back to the way that it was before the pandemic. So, and all of that came to me. So what is it that God is trying to tell his people? What Jesus said, God is trying to tell his people that he is going to take care of us, that he's assuring us that he's going to take care of us. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. To me, he's assuring us, don't worry about y'all. I got you. I got you. I got you a way through all of this stuff that's coming. I through all this stuff that's here. And don't worry about it. You've got there's a stream coming, water, cleansing, and all of that. So it was very interesting because this last 2 weeks, the devil has been very busy. He upped his game. As you say in sports, he upped his game. He's attacking family members left and right. He has got sons against mothers. He got sons trying to destroy mothers. He got sons against their stepfather or their father. He's just working overtime. And even in other situations, he got family members trying to take advantage of the elderly because they think the elderly got a little money stashed away someplace. And they are bent on getting that money and controlling. So that creating tension and conflict. You putting brothers against brothers. You putting brothers against sisters. Sisters against sisters and sisters against brothers. And all in the name that what they are about is taking care of the elderly. It's amazing. I talk to several people, even people on the prayer team. Again, Satan is the devil. He's up in his game. He's coming directly at us. Directly. And once upon a time, he was more indirect. But he's coming direct now. So, tonight, I trust that our discussion, that those who are listening, that was looking at things the way I was looking at, maybe we should come together, and maybe we are going to come together. I'm here to tell you, you can forget that. Because I'm not saying don't try, you don't reach out. But don't get bent out of shape whenever it doesn't happen, whenever you are rejected. Jesus, they rejected Jesus. Who do we think we are? Adam and Eve rejected God in the garden. They accepted the devil over God's authority. So, we who are believers, we just stay in encouraged and stay in the Word, and we will be the one, we will be rewarded, and we will be blessed in the end. All right, Sister McIntyre, Apostle McIntyre. The Apostle of Love.
Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. This is really a good subject. And when you were talking about in Matthew where it said he came to bring a sword, we have to know that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You know, anytime God speaks anything, we take it naturally, but he's always talking spiritually. And I have found that when he says, I didn't come to bring peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So
that's right.
He say he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So it's like you say, you got to rightly divide that word. And what he's not saying that I came purposely to divide the family. I came purposely to turn mother against father or father against daughter or son. But what he said is if you choose to do it my way and you
That's
choose
right.
to honor and what the guidelines and parameters I've set down for my believers to live, if you have people in your family, mothers and fathers, you know, you've got some families where the dad is saved and the mother's not. The mother's born again and the dad is. You got some where the mom and dad is saving the children or not. You got some where, you know, it's a whole mixture going on there. So those that are living for Christ and doing it Christ's way, those that do not want to come, that's when that word becomes a sword. That's when it divides.
Mm-hmm.
And God does not want that, but he's telling you it will happen. And he said, those of you,
mm-hmm.
remember when he was even choosing his disciples, you know, and he was saying, leave that and come follow me. Well, they had wives,
mm-hmm.
most had wives and children and parents and things. And he said, come follow me. But then he still took care of their families. But he's really telling us, and you even got where idols, he said, don't let anything or anyone be more important to you in your life than me. And if we will give God seat of honor in our lives, give us God's desire, and marriage is his idea, having children is his idea. So if we'll do it God's way, honor him as first priority in our lives, then he will show us how to engraft all the rest of this into our lives, and no one gets left out. But where the sword comes in is, okay, say for instance, and you marry somebody, and they're of a different faith, so they believe differently than you do. This
mm-hmm.
is why it's so important, even in marriage, when you marry, you know, just because both of you are born again, you may still have very wide differences on, do we tithe? Do you think it's necessary to go to church? Do we have kids, you know? Do we take them? You know, you have to discuss all that. And that's when that word becomes a sword. Honey, we're not going to do this, or we're going to do that. The word of God says this, so this is how we're going to run the household. This is, and especially when you get teenage children, the world has telling you that he has unleashed such an onslaught against our children because he knows they're the
yes.
next generation. And if he can stamp out
mm-hmm.
the generation, it's the same thing that Herod did when he heard about Jesus had been born. And he had all the children under, 2 years of age killed because he was trying to stop the next generation. And when Solomon said there was nothing new under the sun, this same thing is going on today. The enemy has unleashed
yes.
an attack against our children and against our young people. He's doing it through the media. He's doing it through TV. He's infiltrated the schools with people that have demon mindsets. They're unsaved, and they're pushing that agenda over on our children, and a lot of people are not countering that with the Word of God. And so we're losing a lot of our children and a lot of our young people to the world because we're not countering it with the Word. If you're going to be parents, then be the parent. You know, in your household, you set the rules. The children don't set the rules. You should set the rules, and then it's not just enough to talk the word. We have to live that word. We have to walk that word out before them. We have to share the word when God has blessed and God has delivered, and you share that with them, and you tell them, let them see you. And like you say, a lot of the families, you know, like I said before, if we would get back to putting God first, then that means
mm-hmm.
that we will have time where we sit down and eat together. Or we schedule, if everybody's busy and going different directions, well, y'all, once a week we're going to get together. And let's see how everybody's doing. Let's see what's going on in your life. Let's talk about your week. Let's, you know, just keeping that family. But, you know, now everything is just everybody go their own way. Everybody do their own thing. So there's no talking. There's no communication. And so all of that is being lost. But God being a God of love, what he's saying is, even though we've got advances in technology, you've got all kind of inventions and things going on in the earth, but the nature of man is the same. The human nature of is the same. That will all, that just have not changed. People will, some people are going to follow God, some people are not going to follow God. Some people are going to love God, some people are not going to love God. Some people are going to be instruments used of Satan. Others will be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's always going to bring a clash. And I wish I could say that it would be over, but it's going to be that way till Jesus comes. Because, you know, the curses out there, the out there. So what we've got to do, and I like something you said, Apostle Armstrong, you said the enemy has stepped up his game. Well, if he stepped up his game, we got to step up ours.
That's right.
We got to step up our game. We got to know who we are in Christ. We got to stop fronting and start being real about our relationship with the Lord and letting our children see this. You know, I know that even with all the school shootings, which is something we never heard of in our day. You might be a fist fight or something like that, but, you know, today it just shows that we're living now in a lawless generation. We're living in a generation that the TV, the media, and all that is telling you, even as a 3 or 4 year old child, you get to make decisions. No, you do not. You get to choose. Well, they don't have the mental aptitude to be able to make those decisions based on the Word of God. So people now, when you hear them fussing, and even with the midterms coming up and different things, and everybody's out there projecting something, and, you know, you don't know what their motivations are, you don't know what they're really about, they're Republicans, you had Democrats, Libertarians, all this other kind of stuff, you know. And so we really have to pray and say, Lord, you know, you are the righteous judge. You know every man's heart. We look at their actions. Know every man's heart. Lead me, when I go to vote, the person that's carrying your heart. Because, you know, when we say the earth is really bad. No, the earth is still beautiful. It still belongs to the Lord. It's just that the people in the earth are waxing, you know, seemingly worse because we're losing our reverence for God. It doesn't matter. You know, when I was coming up, even as a young person, you wouldn't use profanity and stuff in front of grown people. I mean, there were just certain things you had too much respect, you know. You just wouldn't do that. It was just certain things you would not do. You wouldn't let the door go in an older person's face or somebody. You would hold that door. We were taught to be gentlemen and young ladies. And now if the enemy is trying to get our children, not just our children, but you got a lot of adults. They are not living according to the identity of Christ. They've got you thinking you some kind of an animal. They're trying to reduce you from who you are in Christ. And so, you know, animals, they just do anything. They run wild. They do anything. We're not animals. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We carry the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of us. So we're not pronouns. And, you know, all this kind of stuff that the world is trying to infiltrate our minds. But then sad to say, you've got a lot of people that have bought into that. And because they bought into that, now all you hear is I. And now it's never been about I. You know, there's no I in Jesus. It's always, well, my rights are I think this or I think that. But if you are a born-again believer, we all have a book. It's a holy book. It is the word of the living God. And he tells us how to live, how to govern our lives, how to love one another, how to raise our children, how to be good citizens. Everything is covered in this manual of life, but we have so departed from the Bible. And we've gone on to establish our own ways. And man left to himself is a mess. Is a mess.
You are absolutely correct. And one of the things that I'm telling people now, first, you got to get yourself in order. You got to get your own house in order. And that means you have to determine who you are and whose you are. And until that happens, you're just like the Bible says, you're just like that ship out there on the sea without a rudder. The wind and the waves are just blowing you here and there, and you stand for anything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, I see that now more than ever in the past, because my generation, I'm like 10 older than you, my generation, at least we were given a biblical foundation. We had to learn Bible verses. We had to recite them in school. We had to recite them in church. And as a result of that, that became part of our heart. That was in our heart. So as we grew older, that we didn't depart from the word. But these young people today, they never had that word. They never had that foundation. So it's okay for them to pick up a gun and shoot somebody and then walk away. Or it's okay to kill somebody today and just walk across the body. I mean, having been a police chaplain for 20 years in Baltimore, I mean, I just saw how evil humans are, and how our young people, they take life for granted. They will take a life this minute, and it's no big thing. It's no big thing. Whereas when we were coming along, we understood the consequences. But when you don't have consequences and not aware of consequences, you do anything. And that's what I see happening in the world today. The world, they said, when the truth is the truth. They said alternative facts. They say you don't believe it unless I say it. So what does that say? That says we're into idolatry. The word doesn't coincide with the word. It doesn't line up with the word of God. With the book, what's in the book? The book is clear. That number one, we should have no other God before God. God is a jealous God. And then whenever you sit down and you look at it, okay, you educated now. You took biology. You took all these science classes. Can you tell me who created the earth and the heavens? Well, it was the Big Bang theory, the Big Bang. Okay, the Big Bang. Who put the stuff together for the bang to take place? I don't know. But you ask me, I can tell you that there is a creator. That all this stuff didn't just come into being on its own. That there is a spiritual being. And if you look at today, that spirit is still operating and protecting us and providing us, and that spirit is calling us out from among the masses.
Yes.
And you say, now why you say that? We are here giving up our time on Friday evening to bring a word to the masses. Now I say the masses because there are listeners all over the earth. And that's God. That is God. There is no human being that can do that. There is, And I tell people straight up, okay, so now we got to that point. Everything that you told me didn't create itself. It was created by something else. Therefore, our conversation, my conversation, my point of view is more valid than yours. I don't exactly say it that way. And then when people really get on my nerves, I tell them straight up, my God made your God. My God made your God. And I keep it moving. And they stand there just like when Moses went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, I am that I am, sent me. Well, yeah. Pharaoh, he couldn't respond. He had no response because he understood what Moses was saying, that he was over the people, but he could not make that claim.
Right.
So now as we look around and we come into an understanding of how we got red states, blue states, how we got Republican, how we got Democrat, how we got the third party one, but we see that everybody is holding to their own, as you mentioned earlier, it's me. Everybody holding to their own misunderstanding. Because if we sit down and look at it, God did not give up his responsibility for what he created. And he's on hold. One other thing that came to me, God is going to hold everybody accountable, just like he's holding me accountable. He's going to hold those who do not recognize him, he's going to hold them accountable. And there's going to be a day of reckoning whenever they realize that they missed out. And at the time that we're living in, there's so much going on right now, so much going on. For people who don't have the word, don't know the word, they're really stressed.
But you know, Pastor Armstrong, it's really, and you have to. And you made a very valid point, because a lot of our young people have never even. And I'm not saying the only place you can go, you can be saved, is in the church. That's not what I'm saying. But there's so many young people that have never set foot inside of a church. They've never been in a setting where they hear about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, about the Word of God. They don't know the Ten Commandments. They don't know the Gospels. They don't know what Jesus did to save them, because they've been raised up in a household that does not recognize God. And God said, I know Abraham. He will command his house after me. So if we have not taught our children about God, and if they don't see us serving God, and I say this to the wonderful people that God have given me at Life Shepherd. You can't live two lives. You can't live two lifestyles. Your public life and your private life have to be the same. You can't.
Amen.
I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I'm saying if you know that you represent God, you're not going to read anywhere in the Word where Jesus argued with the Father about anything. He never corrected the Father about anything. He obeyed him because he knew he came down from the Father. He knew the Father's heart concerning his creation. He knew that God was a God of love, God was a God of mercy, God was a God of truth. And he sent him to reconcile or to bring his people back to him. But even with Jesus doing all that, the kingdom of God still have laws. You
mm-hmm.
don't work to get this, but anything that runs without chaos must have laws. It must have boundaries and it must have rules. And God has given us 6 books. And in it, he tells us what will happen if we live in the blessing of God, if we obey God. And here is what will happen if we reject God, if we disobey God, if we go after our own way and not his own way. He even told us who created the heavens and the earth. And when you were saying about the Big Bang Theory, some of our young people have never even seen a Bible. They've never, you know, they don't realize that the
mm-hmm.
Bible is the Word of God. So what you're dealing with is an unregenerated people. And it's up to us that are born again, that truly love God, is to intercede and to pray. We just got to pray. I believe that there's going to come a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. I really do. And I believe it's going to happen because those of us that name the name of Jesus, the body of Christ, we're praying the will of God. We have to know and understand that even though God is sovereign, he's always used a man. When God sent Jesus to the earth and Jesus did everything he did as a man, God, in essence, removed himself out of running things in this earth. And he said he's given the earth over into the hands of man. You can see we've made a really bad mess. He said he's given the earth over into hands of man. If we'll pray and we'll decree and declare what the word says, God has an opportunity to come into the earth, just like when he sent Jesus.
Yes.
That's how God came into the earth in the gospel. He sent Jesus. Everything Jesus did, he did it with the Father's approval. He did it with all the kingdom of God backing him. Like I said, he never went against God. You never stand up hear him telling people, I'm going to heal you, but it ain't God's will for me to heal you, but just because I feel sorry. No, he never said that. He taught love. He told, I don't care how filthy you are in your sin. I don't care what your sin is. The blood of Jesus will take care of it. God taking care of you spiritually, mentally, socially, financially. He was showing that God is a God of love and God is a God of mercy. He told the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, go. He said, but don't sin no more. Don't keep doing this. You know, so we got to understand that we're warring. We're doing spiritual warfare for a generation because one of the problems is the parents are becoming parents at much younger ages. You got 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds that are now parents and having children. Well, those parents have never been in church. They've never served God. They don't know about God. So if I don't know, how can I teach my children something I don't know? How can I get them to a place? But I believe that if we'll pray, I believe that if we will invite God in, invite the Holy Spirit in, begin to decree and to declare the word of God, it will give God entrance into this earth. And he's smarter than the enemy. He can outsmart the enemy. If he could turn the apostle Paul around to the apostle Paul and make him one of the greatest apostles in the new covenant, in the New Testament, he's the same God. There's nothing impossible with him. We've just got to start believing God, praying the word of God, and it's not so much about trying to get on this side or that side. I'm on God's side. But I pray like this. I'm strong. I said, Father, You are a righteous God, and you are a righteous judge. You know every man's heart. We hear what they're saying, but you know their heart. Now, I need you to show me who's carrying your heart, who's open to allow you, because God's always going to use a man. He had an Adam. He had a Noah. He had a Moses. He had an Abraham. Glory to God, he had a David. And he had a Jesus. And he has not changed that method. He's still going to use a man. So, God, there is somebody that you want to sit in the president's chair. There's somebody you want in the Senate and in the House. There's somebody you want on the Supreme Court. There's somebody you want to sit in these governor chairs that have your heart and that will be like Jesus. I didn't come down to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. There is somebody, God, that you know their heart, that they really do love people. They're not trying to line their pockets. They're not trying to cause a lot of unrest. And no human being is perfect in their natural, but in your spirit, there are people that truly love God. And, Lord, show me who you can do something with. It doesn't matter, I don't think that. What does God want? That's the key we should be asking ourselves. What does God want? This is his earth. He knows this. He knows what's right. So, Father, lead me. Lead me and show me and open my eyes, even if I don't declare to be a Democrat or a Republican. When I go to the poll, I tell God, look, I'm not trying to oppose you on anything. So whoever you want to be in this place, lead me, show me, Holy Spirit, who I should vote for. Because God, in his righteousness, he knows who needs to be there regardless of what we think. So I want to get on. So that's the way I pray. So, Lord, you're a righteous judge. If somebody's there and don't need to be there, then, God, you unseat them. You move. And then you put the person there that you want to be there, that is going to allow you to be God, that's going to allow you to take care. Because, Apostle Armstrong, a lot of the things that are going wrong in our earth is because we've got the wrong people sitting in seats of authority. And when when the righteous sits in seats of authority, the nations rejoice, the people rejoice. You know why they rejoice? Because they're flowing in line with the word of God, and they're doing what God wants. He said, but when the wicked are in seats of authority, the people moan. It's just like the harsh taskmasters when the children of Israel were in Egypt. You know, they just kept making it harder and harder and harder. Those men did not have the heart of God. But when you get righteous people in seats of authority, they began to base their rulings, their decisions on the word of God, then you're going to find the people rejoice. Because God's always the man. That's just all it is to it.
Yeah, and you're going to find that you don't need to send people to the poll with rifles and cameras and intimidate people.
The people
who are going under those conditions won't have to be worried about any repercussions from those individuals God is protecting his people.
And it is
for those who are listening who are struggling with what they see. Remember one thing, we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. And faith comes from what? Hearing the word of God, not hearing the word of the world. Because if you listen to the word of the world, it's going to become what you're going to put your faith in. But if you listen to the word of God, that's what you're going to put your faith going to be in, God's word. And it's amazing how the enemy has twisted everything. And he always have twisted it. But it seems like it is easier now because he has technology. Technology. He has that telelie that he uses. I was watching cartoons. And those cartoons that are on now, it got witchcraft. It got it got demons. It got evil spirits. All of that is right there. And this is for what our children are watching. So if our children are watching that, when the demon comes or witchcraft is practiced against us, we think that's normal. I mean, the kids are not afraid of it because we saw that on television. And we have to become a little bit more vigilant about what our children are watching on TV. We put them in front of it and turn the cartoons on and let them sit there half the day. And then whenever they're acting out or when they're having nightmares, why are you sitting there wondering, why am my child having nightmares? Well, what did you allow your child to watch on TV?
That's right. That's right.
And so we have to be a little bit, we have to be a parent.
And not
using TV as a babysitter. So it's amazing. And then what do we do? Well, God, I don't know why Bobo acted the way he did. And you know, it's wild. I had to listen to a parent one Sunday. Son was part. It was three of them that this gentleman shot them because he kept telling them to leave him alone. And the mother, this little kid, lived on the west side of Baltimore, and this took place on the east side. Well, when I was talking to the mother, she swore up and down that she didn't know why her son was over there. And whenever I saw the little boy rap sheet, he wasn't even, I think he was 15, if he was that old. When I saw his rap sheet, that boy had been in trouble more than an adult. What does that say? The parent is upholding the child in the child's mess. And you can't expect anything other than, well, I always say, you get what you get. That's what you put out. That's what come back to you. And you have to try and help these people, these parents, to understand that they must be a parent. And when you talk to these young people out there in the street, they tell you that, look, we don't really want to be here. We don't want to be here. So my whole thing is that we adults have let our young people down. We have let them down.
It's okay.
And you know,
somebody want to make a comment?
Yes, I would. First of all, giving God the highest praise. He's my all in all. And my awesome Apostle McIntyre, who I love with all my heart, who has taught me so much about the Word of God. I feel a need to be in it every day, and it just helps me so much. I want to say that's so true. The children, we can't blame the children if they're not taught.
That's right.
We can't blame the parents if they're not taught. But when you get a certain age in your life, you should want to change. You should see, because once I had children, I was 18 when I had my daughter. My mother died when I was 18 also. So, I mean, there's so many things in life. Once you become a parent, you got to look at, how is your child growing up? What are they falling after? And if so many young children now get their hands on guns, my prayer is to get all these blue guns off the earth. They more guns on the street, I think, than they are in the gun shop. And we got together. We can't pray. And what gets me, what really bothers me, and apologize, I'm sorry, but what really bothers me is when everybody go all these other ways and let trauma come on. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Everybody want to pray. We need to pray now before something occurs so we'll be well prepared and teach our children consequences. My children grown. I'm with the apostles back inside. I know both my children. They know the consequences. I raise them up on the consequences of everything you do now. Don't think you're going to ride that horse forever and that horse ain't going to kick you off. The consequences of everything. And be careful who you let in your eye gate and your ear gate. I really thank God. I really do. I live alone as well, Father, like God knows. But God lives right in here with me. And he talks to me. He shows me. He helps me. And I'm just thankful. And anybody that comes in my house, you're going to see photos on my TV. You have to use the TV on it all. I like to watch faith, feel, move. I mean, yeah. And then my grandchildren are not all faith. But, and let me rephrase that. Yes, they are. They belong to God. But they're not going the way I don't know God wants them to go. We say prayers every night at 8 o'clock. And we've been doing that for years. And I'm not giving up on them. Because I know God loves me. He loves me.
Mm-hmm.
He got his hands on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know they're going to come out of this and come out with just praising God and loving God. It was something my granddaughter did the other day that I told Apostle about. I thought she had went way over the straight. She got God in her. She said, Grandma, I believe. And the thing of it is, her mother said she's looking for a church. Well, she already got a church. And I'm just praying because I know God's got them. So that is my desire for life, for all my family to be saved, not just my grandchildren, not just my children, all my family to be saved. And God has showed me through different pastors, they will be saved before my time comes to die.
Amen.
I want to meet them again. And y'all, all this stuff happened, don't you know? Satan's on a rampage. He's on the rampage. He's on the loose because we allowed him to be on the loose. You can't let him in. When you see him come in, open the door. I do it now. My father, hold the door down. I invite you in. You're not welcome in here in my life or nothing. You're not welcome. But you got to stand firm. You got to stand firm. And you got to know God's the one wake you up every morning. It ain't that long call. It ain't that cell phone. It ain't your companion, your wife, your husband, whatever. It is God to wake you up. Put breath in your body. Showing you he loves you. Love us. His grace and mercy is awesome. And I do strongly believe God's done for me out of too many things in my life. And I know that it wasn't the doctor. It wasn't the medicine. It was God and God only. And I just want to say thank you for giving time to sleep, and I love y'all.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we thank God for you because what he showed us today is that our time that we have been spending has not been in vain. Whether it is radio or whether it is in the building where we gather on Sunday, or on Wednesday nights for Bible study, or on Zoom, so that we are doing what God wants us to do, and people are hearing, people are listening, because what you said about our sister, yeah, I'm calling her our sister, Apostle Miller. We just We will pass that on to her whenever we see her. Because we are in the valley, we are in the trenches. We need to be affirmed ever so often. Thank you. Apostle McIntyre?
Yes, sir.
We have a few minutes left.
Okay.
And yeah, we have about 6 minutes left, somewhere between 5 and 6 minutes. But the thing that really, really spoke to me this week, whenever, it showed me how powerful the word is. When the devil was trying to put thoughts in my mind when he was trying to put words in my mouth, in my mind, brother, that God is not going to do what God says he would do, and that trying to tell me that I'm basically wasting my time. When the word came, the word came, and that's whenever I had absolute peace. That attempt by the enemy, it departed from me. So all we have to do, we have to allow the word to be in our heart. And the only way we're going to get the word in our heart is how? By reading, studying, meditating, and reflecting. And that's the bottom line that came in the end that told me that God is still on the throne, God is still in charge, and that God called me for a time as this.
Yeah.
And no matter what's happening, no matter what the enemy is trying to do, that all I need to do is stay focused and stay steadfast on the word, and he will see me through. And not only see me through, but to see those two that I'm standing in the gap for, that I'm in the season for.
Amen.
That tells me that it is all worth it. Oh, well, I guess we don't have as many minutes as I thought we have. It said we got 90 seconds. So you want to pray us out?
Father God, we're so grateful and thankful to you for this night. Thank you for what you have allowed us to share tonight. Father, I pray that it has been a source of encouragement and help, that people are strengthened. Father, I just thank you so much that your word is the answer to every situation in this earth. Father, we trust you and we believe you tonight that you still have a good plan and your plan will succeed. Father, I just pray for all the listening orders, Apostle Armstrong, Apostle Miller. And God, I just thank you for what you're doing. And in these upcoming days, we will rejoice. And again, I say we will rejoice because you alone are Lord and beside thee there is another. We love and appreciate you, and we thank you from the depth of our heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Until next week, we go forth as the light unto the world. And
amen.
Those who come into the realms of our consciousness, we speak life into them. Until next week. Have a great day. Great
Shalom.
Week. Shalom.